Hello, everybody. This is Deidre Statz, and I'm filling in this week for Corinne Zupko, who is at the beautiful A Course in Miracles conference in Las Vegas, Nevada. So I'm sure that she will have lots of insights and beautiful moments to share with us next week when she comes back full of excitement and wisdom from the conference. She asked me to take over, and I was more than happy to do that. So I'm really happy to be here with you all this Sunday. I love this group, and thank you for having me. We're going to be reading from the section called Shadows of the Past. I don't have paid references for all of the different editions, but in the Sparkle edition, it is page 403 with the subheading Shadows of the Past. And for the editions, it's chapter 17, I believe. So if anybody has a different edition and wants to chime in with the page number, that would be awesome.
Yeah, the original, I have it in the online version, chapter 17, chapter 4, Shadows of the Past.
Awesome. Thanks, Brian.
And what is the FIP?
I don't have an actual page number, but let me just look at Corinne's notes and see how the FIP edition differs. Just give me a second. Thanks for your patience, guys. It looks like chapter 17, part 3, but
Thank you.
there's no page number, so hopefully
Okay.
you can find it. Thanks. Okay, so dropping in as we normally do, asking and inviting the Holy Spirit to be in charge of everything that transpires here tonight. If we're needing a word or a thought or a tranquil open mind, these are the things that the Holy Spirit gives. We place the Holy Spirit in charge at our request. Knowing that the Holy Spirit gives us peace. We come together at this time for shared learning and growth with open hearts and open minds, knowing that in truth we are one mind and the only love is real. Thank you, Holy Spirit, and so it is. So, shadows of the past. To forgive is merely to remember only the loving thoughts you gave in the past and those that were given you. All the rest must be forgotten. Forgiveness is a selective remembering based not on your selection, for the shadow figures you would make immortal are enemies in reality. Be willing to forgive the Son of God for what he did not do. The shadow figures are the witnesses you bring with you to demonstrate he did what he did not. Because you brought them, you will hear them. And you who kept them by your own selection did not understand how they came into your minds and what their purpose is. They represent the evil you think was done to you. You bring with them only that you may return evil for evil, hoping that their witness will enable you to think guiltily of another and not harm yourself. They speak so clearly for the separation that no one not obsessed with keeping separation could hear them. They offer you the reasons why you should enter into unholy alliances which support the ego's goals and make your relationships the witness to its power. It is these shadow figures which would make the ego holy in your sight and teach you what you do to keep it safe is really love. And I'll pause there. So the course is pretty direct in these first few passages. So to forgive is to merely remember only the loving thoughts you gave in the past and those that were given you. And that to me speaks that anything that is unloving in the eyes of spirit does not exist at all. And it's us. It goes on to say all the rest must be forgotten. So we just disregard anything that isn't love.
Wow, this is really interesting. Hi,
Hi, Paula. Did you have a comment?
I just, you know, this is so interesting because it's saying for the shadow figures you would make immortal are enemies of reality. So it's the thoughts that from the past that you bring into the present that beat the drum of misery and pain and death.
Uh-huh. And all the things you don't want.
Is that what it's saying? I mean, that's what it seems to me it's saying. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that, absolutely. It says, you know, forgiveness is selective remembering. So when we are remembering only love, we're letting all of the other mind chatter that's in the back of the mind beating the drum that you're talking about. We're letting all that go. And we're choosing to remember love.
Yeah. It's really something, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's actually pretty difficult not to be a naysayer, but that's hard.
No, it is. On an ongoing basis, it's very challenging.
Yeah.
You know, the idea, though, of being the observer of your thoughts, that always helps me.
Mm.
You know, especially when I really start to get emotional about things, I know, oh, I'm hooked. So if I can observe what I'm thinking, you know, then I can determine whether God would be saying this or would it be the ego. Where am I coming from, you know?
Right. What really helps me as a practice too, when I'm noticing when I'm in moments where I'm or the voice of fear seems really loud and, you know, you start to question yourself and there's doubt underneath that and stuff. It always helps me to remember that I don't have to figure out how to choose for love. I can ask for help because obviously I'm not seeing it at the moment. And
you
so
know,
I can invite spirit in to help me.
For the past couple of weeks, actually since Easter, I really have been feeling terrible. I mean, I've been going to work, but I was just getting sicker by the day. And I'm thinking, what is this about? When I really started looking at it, there were some things that were going on that were disturbing. And, of course, it's your thoughts alone that cause you pain. So I just thought to myself, I'm sticking my head in this book, and I'm reading these workbook lessons every day, regardless. And I tell you today, this this one workbook lesson, salvation is my only function here. God still is love, and this is not his will. You know, I think on some level, I must have been blaming all of this on God, because once I read that, the minute I read that, I realized, oh my God, that's what this has been about. It's that unconscious nonsense under there, you know, that upside down thinking. And I had an absolute turnaround. I had the best day. I feel so much better. I can't even tell you. So, I think this, just keeping a focus on this book, is just such a great thing. I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah,
for this call.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Paula. That's such a powerful example, too. And I'm reminded of what Corinne often says about how, when we're in those moments and we know we don't feel good, how we've used the power of God to fuel the separation in our mind. But really, you know, God hasn't created the world. God knows nothing of the world we see. It's us unknowingly, unconsciously making, you know, having the thoughts, and we don't have to worry about fixing the thoughts, giving up the, you know, trying to figure out what to do. It's just that willingness to surrender, and like you were saying, come back to the book if you need to. And just, Holy Spirit, help, you know.
Really, it's so helpful. In the meantime, my older daughter wound up in the hospital, and my other daughter and I went today to see her. And, oh, there was, you know, this whole drama, chaos thing going on. And when we left there, my younger daughter, she's on a spiritual path. You know, she started to get very negative about the whole thing. And I said to her, wait a minute, just stop. Where two or more are joined together, we don't know how this is going to play itself out, and let's just turn this over right here and now. We're going to see this right. I'm telling you, we got in the car. We get a phone call from Laura. The whole situation turned around. She was home by noon. It was just absolutely miraculous. And I even called Mary Lou later, and I said, let's not overlook this. You know, this was really a big shift that took place here today. And
mm-hmm.
I feel so grateful for it. And she totally agreed with me. This stuff is really powerful.
Beautiful. I love real life examples like that, because every time we share them, it builds the trust for all, right?
Absolutely.
We need these little moments, and sharing them just strengthens the truth for everybody.
You know, the contrast that goes on when you get caught up in the drama and then you remember, you know, oh, what am I doing? This is all nuts. And then you really are willing to give it up. You know, that's the thing. I was hanging on to all of this stuff. And when I finally got to that point where I'm like, this is enough. Everything changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful. Beautiful. So let's move on to the next paragraph. The shadow figures always speak for vengeance, and all relationships into which they enter are totally insane. Without exceptions, these relationships have as their purpose the exclusion of the truth about the other and of yourself. This is why you see in both what is not there, and make of both the slaves of vengeance. And why whatever reminds you of your grievances, no matter how distorted the associations by which you arrive at the remembrance may be, attracts you and seems to you to go by the name of love. And finally, why all such relationships become attempt at union through the body, for only bodies can be seen as means for vengeance. That bodies are central to all unholy relationships is evident. Your own experience has taught you this, but what you do not realize are all reasons which go to make the relationship unholy, for unholiness seeks to reinforce itself as holiness does by gathering to itself what it perceives as like itself. So I'm going to pause there for a moment because I think that paragraph is pretty powerful. And what speaks to me is that when the instance of the shadow figures, like the Course is talking about here, always speaking for vengeance. And when we believe in separation, we've made the body a symbol of that separation. So if we're looking to another body for love or validation or any of that type of thing, it's always going to be that special relationship. So it's in that releasing everything so that it can be used on behalf of the Holy Spirit. That is really what the Course is asking us to do. Does anything come forward for anyone that they want to share about this paragraph or a real life example? Or
hello, hello.
Hello.
yeah, my name is Igor. I'm from Russia.
Hi, Igor. Wow, Russia. Nice to have you.
Yeah. I first connected last week. So
beautiful.
This forgiveness topic, of course, is critical, and the whole course is wrapped around it, and. In the first paragraph, I like this line, be willing to forgive the Son of God for what he did not do. So, and this paragraph, third paragraph, says about vengeance. So, and one of the first workbook lessons says, all I see is a form of vengeance, right?
Mm-hmm.
22. What I see is a form of vengeance. So we have separated ourselves from God, seemingly at least, because of our huge grievance on God, because of our hate to God, and this whole world we have projected by being in a bad mood. that's why.
That's a really good way of
putting it. Accurate.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, when you when you cook something or do something in a bad mood, usually it turns out not so good, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why this world is full of unpleasant things, I think. So. And again, Jesus kind of, I think, how I see it, he gives maybe a bit dualistic. He talks about others, he talks about vengeance, he talks about forgiveness is a selective remembering, yeah? So to forgive is merely to remember only the loving thoughts, you give. But this line is especially, I like, be willing to forgive the Son of God for what he did not do, right? Because nothing is outside you. Another quote from the text. And so it's all ourselves, actually, in the end. We think something bad has happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only just our own thoughts. And we have been thinking about vengeance. We have been thinking about grievances and hate and anger and stuff like that. So just dropping those ideas, just stopping believing in them.
You know, what occurs to me, if you're just talking about this, is a situation that happened quite a few years ago now that really ticked me off with this person I know. And it's taken, you know, really has taken a long time of working with the Holy Spirit to see this in a better way. And when I think about this incident, this thing this person said to me, it's so liberating to just free her to be free to say anything she wants at any time and not take any of it personally. And just, and it doesn't mean I have to hang out with her or, you know, go back into that relationship. I'm free to be friends with whoever I want to be friends with, but not hold that grudge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when I do, she occasionally contacts me. I'm always cordial and will not go back into that. And it actually feels just, every time it comes up again in my mind, I always just think, I'm unlocking those prison doors, I'm opening that up, and I'm letting her go to be free to say and do anything she wants and not make it about me.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels right to me. You know, the ego gets in there and, well, no, you know, you have to give up something or sacrifice something or, I don't know, it's all so crazy. But freedom, just, and that's with everybody.
Yeah.
That's everybody.
Thank you for sharing that, Paul. It was really helpful.
I hope that I was articulate enough about that, but as I get, I just get, okay, so it made sense?
No, it was
it
very
sense
articulate.
To me.
And for me, like, I was thinking about a situation that is coming up lately in my life. There's there's nothing outside of us, so there's a projection that seems to be coming forward in the form of a family member at the moment that is seemingly pressing my buttons, and I'm catching myself in these thoughts throughout the day and doing the very best that I can to hand them over, but at times feeling frustrated with myself that I haven't done better at the whole forgiveness thing. You know, that the
right.
fact that I've been triggered at all has been very frustrating for me, because I really do want to wake up. That's all I want, is the peace of God. And I'm noticing with this particular relationship, my buttons, or my seeming buttons, are being pressed. So I'm just asking Spirit constantly, you know, show me another way to look at this. And just going moment by moment with it. And what you said about letting people show up exactly how they want to show up, or
yeah.
exactly how they show up, is really the key in this scenario that I'm seem to be playing out in my mind is that I'm just learning with this particular movie that's going on that it's so much better if I don't say anything. Like if I just keep giving it to spirit. If that makes sense to everybody.
That makes sense to me.
I found that that's the only way because the moment I start to try to say anything, it becomes a defense or an attack, and I simply do not want to do that. So I'm not saying it's been easy, but I've come to the understanding with spirit that it's the best and most loving thing to do is say nothing.
I agree. I absolutely agree. The ego has a lot of resistance to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, this idea of just freeing everyone. Donald Trump. I was getting semi-hysterical about Donald Trump becoming president. And I really, really had to pray about this. And it's the same thing. Free him to be who he is. But let it go. He's fine. Just exactly the way he is. Has nothing to do with you. You know, Abraham, I know you listen to the Abraham tape sometimes, Deidre, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, they always say politics is like a blip on the radar. You know, that's how insignificant it really is. But if you get too hooked into that TV, you know, it really feels real. There's nothing real about it.
It's so funny that you brought up Abraham because as I've been dealing, I just want to share this really quickly if everybody doesn't mind. As I've been dealing with the appearance of the movie in my mind and having something with the appearance of pressing buttons, lo and behold, this quote comes up on my Instagram feed from Abraham, and it goes like this. When it feels to you as if someone is pushing your buttons, realize that you are the one with a great big button out there that is just begging to be pushed. If you don't put it out there, no one will push it.
That's fantastic.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh,
so,
those tapes.
Yeah.
Those Abraham tapes are powerful.
And it's just showing once again, like the Course teaches, whenever we're triggered by anything, it's another opportunity to practice forgiveness and seeing only the love. Because what am I doing is I'm not only like the first point of attack is the self. And so there's no other person there. It's all coming from me. So I'm looking to use something as an agent for attack. So if I can call on spirit for another way to look at it. And what I really think it's doing is teaching me just to, like you said, Paula, earlier in your description, not take things personally. It's not about me.
Yeah.
It's not about the identity that I've created called Deidre. It's not about me at all. And so I wouldn't say I'm at the point where I'm not triggered yet, but I'm watching it. I'm observing it. And each time I observe it, it becomes easier to stay quiet, even though there's the background chatter, you know, saying in my mind, you should really speak up, you know, what is being said is not unfair, is not fair, and, you know, the whole victim story and everything. But I don't have to engage in it. And that's part of the whole healing process. Like it says in the paragraph that we've been reading, forgiveness is recognition that what you think your brother did not happen, right? So
In this third paragraph, near the end, only bodies can be seen as means for vengeance. The bodies are central to all unholy relationships, is evident, yeah? So, really, we can blame only bodies, right? Here is this Donald Trump body, right?
Right.
We can blame him.
Yeah.
If there is no body, imagine there would be no Donald Trump. Oh, no body, no problem. Yeah? No person, no problem. KGB, KGB is saying. And KGB used to use this saying. They invented this saying for unholy reasons, yeah, for unholy means. But actually, if you think about it in terms of Course in Miracles, it is a deeply, profoundly spiritual quote. Because if there is no body, no person, no problem, really. Only the body, what Jesus says here, only bodies are can be seen as means for vengeance. Just remove this body and whom would you apply your vengeance to, right? Whom would you hate, right?
Yeah.
So, and in clarification of terms, I like this quote, in clarification of terms in section, I don't know what section it is, paragraph four, he says, forgiveness looks past bodies. Forgiveness kind of overlooks bodies, yeah? Forgiveness looks past bodies. This is its holiness. This is how it heals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So that's how, like, again, by willing to forgive the Son of God for what he did not do. So we have projected all of those bodies. We want to make something to blame for. So because of this huge unconscious guilt we have, right? Jesus
mm-hmm.
explains why we, like this Abraham guy, I love his teachings also. Before the course, I've been listening to Esther Hicks and Abraham a lot. And they say about this law of attraction, how we can, manifest everything. And the only question for me was, why have I manifested? If I am so powerful, really, if my thoughts are not some, fart in space, because I used to think, who cares about my thoughts, right? My thoughts are just farting in space. but Abraham says, no, your thoughts are critical. Your thoughts are almighty. When I agreed and I could accept this fact that, yes, this must be true, because in some areas I see that really my thoughts are manifesting things. But then I started thinking, okay, then why would I manifest such unpleasant life for me? Why do I manifest? If my thoughts are so powerful, why am I so miserable? Why am I so miserable? And only Course in Miracles explained, because Abraham doesn't explain
no,
this.
No, I agree.
Only Course in Miracles, Jesus explains it to you clearly, that we have separated from God ourselves. This, like you said, that God did not create this world, yeah? Jesus says.
Yeah.
And so we are inventing this world. We, myself, is ruler of the universe, another workbook lesson says. And so why then, if I am the ruler of the universe, why am I creating all of this mess? Why do I create Donald Trumps everywhere? And the reason is because of this unconscious guilt. Unconscious guilt for the separations. We are feel terrible. We are feel hateful, angry, and full of grievances and sadness and stuff like that. Bad mood again. So, we want to get rid of it. We want to get rid of this hatred, guilt, grievances. We want to get rid of them, put them somewhere. And how to the ego told us the way to do it. Project someone else, manifest somebody's, and blame them.
Yeah.
Blame them. That's how it's, this is being described in workbook lesson 71, where Jesus explains that this plan is the ego's plan for salvation. So he says that the ego has also set up its own plan for salvation, and it is centered around holding grievances. You know, so project the Donald Trumps everywhere and blame them. They are the bad ones. They are the guilty ones. Instead, because again, nothing is outside us, by blaming Donald Trumps, we are blaming ourselves still.
Ourselves,
because
absolutely.
Donald Trumps,
absolutely.
And so, and that's why this forgiveness practice that Jesus gives, oh my God, it was so liberating. It was so amazing that really, yes, forgiveness, just forgive this unconscious guilt, remove it, undo it. Instead of keeping it on others, blaming others, we can now really heal it, undo it, and wow, this is really amazed me so much in the course. Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful,
you know,
comment. Thank you.
He really outlined that so beautifully. Living in this world, it's just so upside down from what the course is teaching. I have to constantly refer to the course to keep uplifted and to you know to remember this. The one thing that really helps me the most is, you know, when I observe these negative thoughts, would God be thinking this? That is so helpful to me, because God would not be thinking that Donald Trump is some kind of a lunatic, you know? So it always helps me to get it back into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, giving it to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the undoing.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit really is the answer.
And
me.
By the way, Donald Trump is flowers compared to my president, so I can only be jealous to you guys.
Oh, that's so funny. I think one of the really key things that keeps coming up for me in this discussion is that the guilt is unconscious. And so when we get tripped up about, you know, why is this happening? Why am I having the thoughts? You know, why is my life sucking? You know, why am I manifesting things that I don't want? That is just another way that the fear voice, the background voice keeps the story going. So the more we try to figure out why things are happening, that's another tactic to stay stuck. If we
absolutely
can just give everything to Holy Spirit and say, look, I don't know. Just like the Course says, I don't know what anything is for. My only choice is to choose love. If I don't know how to choose love, ask Holy Spirit to look upon this for me, judging it for me. That's the only thing that we can do, because trying to figure it out, it just doesn't work. If we can just give every belief we hold to Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and by the way, Didri, you said that you are kind of asking the help for the Holy Spirit to heal these relationships. And really, a chapter ago, chapter 16, section 4, Jesus says, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself, which you have built against it. So really, those grievances that we have, that we hold, for example, okay, Donald Trump, we can, any minute we can turn off the TV, and it's okay, there is no Donald Trump anymore. But how about families? Yeah, it's not so easy to turn off those family members who are pushing us our buttons, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have a remote to turn them off, to shut them up. You know.
I wish we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great, but we scientists are not so advanced, unfortunately, for now. So how do we do? What do we do there? And really, it is natural for us to love our parents, our children, our wives and husbands, but we have these problems with our bosses, maybe. At least with families, we should feel love, right? It's natural, but we don't. We feel hate. We have problems with them. And what prevents me to feel love to my father, for example, or to my mother? It is grievances. It is grievances that I hold against them. This is what prevents me. And so that's why Jesus says, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers. And barriers, of course, grievances, right?
Yeah.
So, and what you said, Dietri, that removing these grievances, forgiving those grievances with the help of the Holy Spirit, this is really the whole task. So, because as soon as we apply, because a lot of, you know, before Course in Miracles, all spiritual teachings I heard of, they were saying, oh, just be in peace, yeah, just meditate, be silent, oh, so great, life is good, look at this, look at, but then all of this crap would get back to me, and I was like, oh, blah, 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 yelling at someone. And but Jesus says, no, do not be, you know, in silent, find those bad relationships, unholy relationships. Find all of these grievances that you have projected because of your unconscious guilt and heal them. Apply genuine forgiveness to them. That's how you liberate yourself. That's how you enlighten yourself. That's mm-hmm. how you awaken. So, yeah, I really like Course in Miracles and your approach, Dietri. I think you're on a good track to
thank
really,
you very much for your beautiful comments.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm feeling called to read a bit more, so I'll read a few more paragraphs and then we can open up for more comments. So, in the unholy relationship, it is not the body of the other with which union is attempted, but the bodies of those who are not there. Even the body of the other, already a severely limited perception of him, is not the central focus as it is or in entirety. What can be used for fantasies of vengeance and what can be most readily associated with those whom vengeance is really sought are centered on the separate off as a being, the only parts of value. Every step taken in the making and maintaining and the breaking off of the unholy relationship is a move toward further fragmentation and unreality. The shadow figures enter more and more, and the one in whom they seem to be decreases in importance. Time is indeed unkind to the unholy relationship, for time is cruel in the ego's hands, as it is kind when used for gentleness. The attraction of the unholy relationship begins to fade and to be questioned almost at once. Once it is formed, doubt must enter in, because its purpose is impossible. The only such relationships which retain the fantasies that center on them are those which have been dreamed of, but have not been made at all. Where no reality has entered, there is nothing to intrude upon the dream of happiness. Yet consider what this means. The more reality that enters into the unholy relationship, the less satisfying it becomes, and the more the fantasies can encompass, the greater the satisfaction seems to be. The ideal of the unholy relationship thus becomes one in which the reality of the other does not enter at all to spoil the dream, and the less the other reality brings to it, the better. It becomes thus the attempt at union becomes a way of excluding even the one whom the union was sought, for it was formed to get him out of it and join with fantasies in uninterrupted bliss. How can the Holy Spirit bring his interpretation of the body as a means of communication into relationship whose only purpose is separation from reality? What forgiveness is enables him to do so? And I'll pause there.
Well, that last line, what forgiveness is enables him to do so. It seems to me what forgiveness is letting it go, whatever it is that's
yeah.
disturbing your peace of mind, and allowing him to undo all the consequences, you know, as in page 90.
Yeah.
And then the shift takes place.
I must have decided wrongly, for I am not at peace. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm using that prayer so much.
Oh.
And
that's
the one
a powerful prayer.
Yeah. And the one about Nuke Sanchez's prayer about using something to separate from your love. So
I'm not that familiar with her.
Yeah. It's thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching me not to use fill in the blank as something, but as separation, basically. So anything, whether it's a relationship with a family member or something happening at work, and just exactly what you said, Paula, being willing to let it go. So I've just, after much, much prayer, because I've been studying the Course now for about 4 years, and I've experienced so much peace as a result of it. So the fact that I've had this trigger coming forward has been really upsetting to me. You know, it's been like, you know, I want to hand this over. Why am I not handing it over? You know, kind of thing. Like, so it's just an area where I'm realizing that it's here for a reason. I don't have to make it faster. I don't have to speed up the healing. I simply have to be willing to be where I'm at with it. And if I notice that I'm triggered by something that appears to be going on in the movie in my mind, it's just another opportunity to take the spirit and ask for a loving way to look at it.
Sometimes, especially the last, you know, couple of weeks where I've just been off physically, at one point, I just got kind of a little meltdown here. You know, you never get it done, and you can't get it wrong. You know?
Yeah.
It's okay if we fall on our face. It's okay to fall apart. It's
yeah.
You know, and get it out there. And I'm telling you, once I kind of released, because I know none of it's the truth. I know that this anger or upset or fear, anxiety, that, you know, gets that I get a grip on, it's not real. It's not
yeah.
the truth. So, but sometimes, you know, I'll try to pour pink paint over it to kind of just not deal with it because I want to feel good. But sometimes I absolutely have to have a screaming fit about it. My poor cats, they run like hell too. See, I live alone, so it's easy to do this. It's a little bit more difficult if you have a mate or, you know, other people living with you. But I find it to be very, very liberating to just really get it out, and then I'm more willing to just really let it go.
Yeah, that's
just
so true.
Let it be.
Yeah.
So because I just want to put that in there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paula. Bless you. I think, too, like, the problem isn't any of the picture. The problem is that I'm using it to blame myself or
yeah,
be, 'cause
exactly.
There's nothing there. There's no family member. There's no, I'm allowing this upset or whatever it is that is in my mind to be another thing that I use on behalf of the separation. So whenever when I notice the trigger, I'm like, immediately, Holy Spirit, you know,
help.
Here it is, help. it's, I wouldn't say I've got it 100% of the time, but it I'd be lost without the course, I'm telling you right now.
Oh, God, me too. me too.
Yeah. Let's read a little bit more.
Hey, before you move on, Deidre.
Oh, sure.
Hey. Hey, Igor, it's Carla. You found me again, huh?
Carla.
Hey. I wanted to say that very interesting. I'm listening in, and I was thinking about I had an irritation actually with a partner, holy relationship partner. We study the course together, and you know, egos have rules, and sometimes those rules just mirror. They get on my nerves because I have rules too, and so they just take a different form. And me and my partner, we were studying or together last week, and he said to me, like a day later, we were talking on the phone, and he's got this rule about sitting at the dinner table. He finds that that's a place of peace for him, and that if I wasn't eating, that I shouldn't sit there, pretty much. And I was thinking to myself, wow, that is the stupidest shit I ever heard. But all right then. So I'm listening, and then you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, when I was sitting in the living room areas, like, weren't you the same person that pulled up one of those trays next to me on the couch and started eating and talking? You know, so it's like, I don't, like I said, I found myself feeling irritated by these, by that rule. And it was something else. He had, maybe a week or two ago, I was playing around on YouTube, and I went to a video. I don't know whose voice it is, but they were reading Neville Goddard's work. I realized in my ego rule, I didn't like the sound of that voice. It wasn't really holding my attention. And it's been like that for me with different teachers. Some teachers are for me and some teachers aren't. And I just accept that. And this particular person, whoever is reading his book, it just really doesn't draw me in, and just kind of dry and really just bores the shite out of me. So he actually said, I got a surprise for you. I said, sure. So we're sitting at the table when I was there this week, and he puts that same video on, and I'm like, and then he put it on real loud, and I'm like, well, could you turn it down? And I was like, yeah, I'm familiar with who that is, and I was watching the same video last week, but it really didn't hold my attention. So he mentioned it to me the next day. He was like, you are so into the course. Like that's it for you. And, like, I put that video on, and you weren't interested and blah. And I'm like, no, I wasn't interested. You know, but I'm into other things too besides the course. But if some of those teachings don't appeal to me on video, I have turned them off too. You know, but I was just thinking about this stuff, like, this person and all these fucking rules is really starting to bug me. And I didn't say anything to them because I went back to the course in my memory and was reminded that if a brother asked me to do something, to just do it. You know, it's not a sacrifice to not sit at the table with him. It's not a sacrifice. Well, that's not a sacrifice. So I can certainly do that without resentment. And I think about that with other ego rules. Like if it's not a sacrifice and there's no harm to me or to them, then I could just do it. And like you were saying, Deidre, earlier about, you know, being quiet. Well, I can be quiet because it's really not important. I'd like to wake up. You know, I'm honest enough with myself to admit that that's not my only goal these days. I'm still conflicted. It's certainly become a bigger part of my experience because now I know there is, you know, how we all said, there's got to be something better than this. Well, that's something better than this. Now I know what it is. So, yeah, I want that. But I also want to, you know, play around in the guilt playground and play around in the ego playground and criticize, condemn, and judge and hold grievances. Myself would be the victim number one, and then it just fans itself out. Mm-hmm. And if I could just be honest about that, you know, that I'm, you know, got this double mind thing going on, and I would like to be singularly minded and, you know, in my Christ consciousness most of all the time, but that's certainly my goal. I'm finding that I'm having more of a gentleness and a softening towards myself and others. So, you know, like I said, with this brother, and then he said something to me as well. We were talking about special and holy relationships, and he took it to the extreme. Like, you mean to tell me in a holy relationship you're just supposed to stick around and let the person do whatever they want? I was like, no. No, there's such a thing as, you know, Jesus says, recognize misery and go the other way, you know. And there was something else I had said to him as well. But maintaining my peace. Maintaining peace is the number one order of the day. So if I'm with somebody and what I imagine them to be saying or doing is triggering me in such a way that I can't seem to maintain my peace, it's okay to separate to heal. It really is okay. There's no crime in that. And so, you know, I kind of like brought that to light. He was like, oh, okay, you know, because he said to me that, you know, I just let you be your free spirit itself. And I nearly wanted to get on my knees and say, thank you, Jesus, because about 3 months ago, that wasn't the case. And I was appreciative. And I said, well, I thank you for actually you're loving me perfectly when you do that. When you allow me to be who I am without trying to manipulate and change me, that's actually freeing. That's love right there. So yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. And that's the best way that, and I said, if you really want to be perfectly clear about it, your friends are also your holy relationship partners and our friends, period, because they don't bother us. They're not trying to change you and vice versa. It's the ones that we want to single out. Now we get a test on how to use and apply this stuff that we're reading about, you know. But, you know, fortunately, you know, we're not specialized at the moment. And I'm glad about that because I sure would have needed a break from his ass this week if that were the case. So, you know, thank you so much for letting me just kind of get that off my chest because I still find myself a bit irritated by those ego rules. And I guess I just need to sit with this with the Holy Spirit to look at myself and see where I have ego rules that I'm still kind of like using, you know, for separation and guilt. And I'm innocent. Any way it goes, it doesn't change who I am. I'm still as God created me. So is he, and so are you.
Beautiful. I think you nailed it at the end with that end sentence there, Carla. Thank you so much. I always love when you share because you're so authentic and you just say exactly what's on your mind without, you know, just really honestly and authentically. So that's awesome. Thank you. And we are at the top of the hour, how quickly the time goes. So I guess this is where I will stop. And unless anyone else have any comments or feedback that they'd like to share before next week, I will bid you all a beautiful night.
Have a great week.
You too. Lots of love.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye, family.